Right now on KPIX 5 News at 6 a.m., a shooting in an Oakland school has left 6 people injured. Students, families, and employees describe those terrifying moments. We're live in Oakland with the latest.
Plus, we are closely tracking Ian this morning. After being downgraded to a tropical storm, the path of destruction left behind after slamming Florida's southwest coast.
And it's deja vu for residents of one of San Jose's largest homeless camps, the plan to relocate them again in the South Bay.
And we're tracking the tropics here in the Weather Center, as well as this gradual warming trend here in the Bay Area heading into the weekend. We'll have more on that coming up in the full forecast.
And tracking the roadways as well. Brake lights already building for that ride as you head towards the Bay Bridge. And things are getting slow on Highway 4 and 580. Your travel time's coming right up.
Let's get right to that developing story this morning we've been following for quite a while this morning. Police are still looking for multiple gunmen in that Oakland school shooting. 6 adults were hurt, 2 of them in critical condition. The shooting happened at King Estates campus, which has multiple schools. That complex is closed today as police continue piecing the shooting together. The site on Fontaine Street serves more than 600 students at 3 schools, Bay Tech Charter, Sojourner Truth Independent Study, and Rudsdale Continuing and Newcomer High Schools. Our Jocelyn Moran is live at Highland Hospital, where 3 of the victims are being treated right now. Jocelyn, what's the latest that we know so far?
Yeah, Justin, as you mentioned, 3 of those victims are being treated here. As far as their conditions, we know that 2 of those 6 victims are in critical condition. But as we talk about this, we have to think about those scary moments that a lot of people experienced yesterday. You know, we saw some of the people, their families, students outside of the school trying to find their students as they tried to figure out exactly what was going on. And for the people inside, some heard gunshots. Henry, who you're about to hear from now, says he's an employee at the school, and he says he was eating lunch when he heard the gunshots a little bit shortly before 1 p.m.
I went to the window and I saw like the bullets, you know, going everywhere. I was like, is this some kind of, you know, someone is playing? And I saw my coworkers running away, and then I saw this guy like getting up and he was bleeding. I was like, oh my God, this is not a game. You know, this is real. I was thinking about my life. I was like, let's go, let's run away. And I told 2 of my coworkers next to me, I was like, let's go to the bathroom. Let's go and hide ourselves.
Yeah, and that right there, it just gives us a glimpse of those very scary moments for a lot of people involved. All 3 schools were locked down for about an hour and a half as families waited to pick up their students.
Panic, scared. I was thinking the worst.
You're just scared. Just want to see your kids.
According to the school district, all 6 people who were shot were affiliated with the school in some way. Law enforcement sources tell KPIX 5 they believe this could have been a targeted shooting. Again, King Estates campus, the complex is closed today as police continue their investigation. But you know, Justin, as we have been talking about, a lot of people asking themselves the community questions, when is it going to be enough? When is this going to be, you know, when is all of this going to stop? We are going to hear from district officials. That's going to be coming up in the next 30 minutes. Justin.
Pretty scary for so many people there, Jocelyn. Thanks so much. Now, the school shooting comes the day after Oakland logged its 9th homicide in 9 days. There have been nearly 100 so far this year, and the city has seen 3 shootings at schools in just the past 60 days. No one has died, but a 6-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy were among those wounded. Governor Newsom tweeted after yesterday's shooting, calling it, quote, a horrifying act of violence that has grown too familiar. He added, quote, yet again, our kids were in the crossfire. This cannot continue. Gun violence has taken too many from our communities. And Amanda, we have so much more on that shooting, mm-hmm. but you're tracking some other stories we're following this morning across the Bay Area.
Yeah, there's an issue that we've been following for quite some time now. Residents of one of San Jose's largest homeless camps are on notice that they'll have to move. Once again, about 100 people relocated to Columbus Park earlier this month after the city forced them out from under the nearby Mineta flight path. The city says the Columbus camp will be cleared by mid-November. A homeless advocacy group is suing San Francisco to stop its encampment sweeps. The suit calls them unconstitutional, adding that the policy only punishes the unhoused rather than helping them. A spokesperson for the city attorney's office tells KPIX 5, quote, the city is acutely focused on expanding our temporary shelter and permanent housing options to alleviate our homelessness crisis. All right, take a look at this new video out of San Leandro where a fire surrounded this house as it burned to the ground. Luckily, the property on Halcyon Drive was vacant, and thank goodness for that. And here's what's left of it this morning. By the time fire crews doused those flames, only the charred frame was still standing. No word on the cause of that fire. All right, meteorologist Jessica Birch joins us now for a look at our weather. And how is our forecast looking like for this Thursday?
Know, for us here in California, things are really mild. We have some high pressure building right now, but I want to talk about Tropical Storm Ian real fast. For anyone who has loved ones out there in Florida right now, this storm is still tracking north, and it'll continue to push its way off into the Atlantic as we head into the afternoon hours and then circulate its way back into South Carolina, still as a tropical storm. Pretty impactful winds, still a lot of storm surge issues associated with this storm, but let's take it back over here into the bay. Daytime highs today are going to sit right around average, even just a little bit warmer as high pressure starts to build its way in. We're also starting to see a lot clearer conditions. That marine layer, not nearly as thick today just along the coastline. It's still sitting off closer to Concord and Hayward, but it dissipates pretty fast as we head into the afternoon hours, leaving us with sunny skies virtually everywhere, and especially along the coastline. That's not usually the case for us. High pressure will continue to build until tomorrow. Daytime highs will continue to rise. We're going to see 90s off in our inland areas, upper 70s just near San Francisco. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit, but for now, back over to you, Amanda.
All right, thank you, Jessica. Now, Ian, now downgraded to a tropical storm, is on the move after leaving a path of destruction in southwest Florida. The storm trapped people in homes and flooded large parts of the region. Ian came ashore just west of Fort Myers with wind speeds high enough to make it the fifth strongest hurricane ever to hit the country. CBS News correspondent Christian Benavides joins us from Orlando. Good morning to you. We can see in this video right now just how windy it still is there.
Amanda, good morning. We have seen that whipping wind throughout the morning. And again, we're not out of the woods. We're still waiting for what is now Tropical Storm Ian to eventually make its way out into the Atlantic. The biggest concern here in the central Florida area is concern for the potential of historic flooding.
Jacob!
Some good Samaritans in Bonita Springs, Florida, jumped into action, rescuing an elderly man trapped in his car in rising floodwaters. Scenes like these, somewhat common, as Ian roared into southwest Florida with a vengeance as one of the most powerful storms ever to hit the U.S. This morning, Ian is still churning its way across the state after making landfall yesterday as a Category 4 hurricane with 150 mile per hour winds. The streets and the sea became one and the same across the region, like in this neighborhood near Naples.
It's been that surge that has been the biggest issue and the flooding that has resulted as a result of that. In some areas, we think it's hit 12 feet.
In Tampa, strong gusts sent this traffic light crashing to the ground. Flooding forced CBS affiliate Wink TV to move to another newsroom location until a power outage knocked the station off the air.
Even though the storm has weakened, the danger certainly has not passed. As it moves north and east, the National Weather Service is warning significant to catastrophic flooding is expected to develop in areas throughout the day, like here in Orlando.
The Orlando airport began canceling all flights yesterday until further notice, stranding some passengers.
Now we're just gonna kind of hang out until Friday.
After passing through Florida's East Coast today, Ian is expected to move onto Georgia and South Carolina's coast tomorrow. So again, Florida isn't the only state in the crosshairs here. In fact, the governors of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia have all declared states of emergency as Tropical Storm Ian makes its way out into the Atlantic, where it could strengthen once again.
All right, we will be keeping our eyes on that. Before you go, I want to talk about safety for a second. It's obviously just human to be curious about what your home looks like, what's going on in your neighborhood. What about people who didn't even evacuate? Have they been getting the help they need?
Well, look, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had said that rescue crews weren't going to go in until it's safe. It does appear that some rescue crews have started to go in. In fact, just here in the Orlando area in nearby Kissimmee, we saw that there were a couple of water rescues that took place. And that's because if conditions are safe enough, you know, these crews are going to go out there and go ahead and do what they need to do. But they can only do that
once it's safe enough for them to do it. So as this storm moves out and now there's daylight here in Florida, we're able to sort of look and assess the damage and then hopefully reach those people that are in those areas where they had been told that they needed to get out and they didn't.
All right, safety is top of mind for everyone who lives there and for your safety too. Thank you so much for your reporting and letting us know what's going on.
All right, well, let's shift gears and head over and take a look at the roadways and mass transit this morning. If you are getting ready to head out the door, heads up, we are dealing with some BART delays right now, about a 10-minute delay as you head in the SFO, Daly City, and Berryessa direction. So check that schedule before you head out the door. Caltrain, Capital Corridor, VTA, all on time, so that's good news, but BART dealing with a few delays. Taking a look at the freeways, if you're headed along the Nimitz, southbound 880 near 92, we've got a crash there with a 25-minute travel time from Hesperian down to 237. Keep that in mind if you're headed along 880 north of there. Starting to get a little crowded. Live look here near the Coliseum. You can see things are getting busy. And if you're headed to the San Mateo Bridge, getting a little crowded there as well. Serena Williams went on the Drew Barrymore show and shared a very heartwarming story. Now, apparently, this was after losing in a recent match. And her 5-year-old daughter, Olympia, well, she taught Serena a lesson on winning and losing.
After I lost in Cincinnati, she came back and she's like, "It's okay, Mama. You just have to do what you feel." And I, like, literally wanted to cry. It was like, do what you feel. Do what your heart tells you, you know? And she was so, it was the sweetest thing ever.
Well, kids have good insight. Look at that beautiful picture of her family. Now, that just goes to show you that children can sometimes truly, you guys, be our greatest teachers.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's for you, too, with your little ones. I'm sure they've taught you so much.
They have. Quick, funny story. My husband had a gig recently with the band he used to be on tour with, the Mother Truckers, and he wasn't going to do it because he had tickets to a show, and he hasn't been out there for a while. And my son said to him, "Dad, you love music. Do you want to be the guy watching someone on stage doing what you do, or be the guy on stage